But the arrival of Jesus has brought so much hope. There's going to be a savior of the world. The world was in chaos, much like it is today. You know, there's a second coming when Jesus returns in the rapture. We have that to look forward to. The second arrival of Jesus on scene. It's going to be pretty awesome or pretty horrible, depending on where your soul lies with him. Make it awesome. Lord Jesus, I'm going to eternity because I accepted you as my Lord and Savior, and I served you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Advent today, peace. Experience peace. Do you experience peace in your life? As I was looking at peace and studying peace, I went to Google and I'm like, I wonder what Google says. Like, just definition of peace. What's going to pop up? All sorts of things pop up. Peace according to Muhammad. Peace according to Hinduism. Peace according to the Quran. Peace according to da-da-da-da-da. Eventually it got to the Bible. And even one of them even said, well, what is peace to you? Find your own peace. What? We're not looking at all those pieces today. Maybe some of you like immediately thought of pumpkin pie because Thanksgiving just happened. Like a piece of pumpkin pie, that kind of peace. We're not looking at that kind of peace. We're not looking at a hot pistol on the streets of New York. Not that kind of peace. We're looking at what is the peace that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, came to bring us. What is the definition of that peace? What does that peace look like for us? Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The peace that Jesus came to deliver is the peace in knowing that there is a God who loves you. The peace in knowing that we all have sinned and fallen short and have gone our own way and gone astray. But there was a God who loved us, who sent his son, who willingly went to the cross to pay for the penalty of my sin, that I may inherit eternal life, everlasting. The peace that was ours was upon him in punishment. Thank you, Jesus. That's the peace he brought to us. We live in a world where God is in charge, but he's not in control. Meaning you and I still get to make choices. Meaning you and I can still mess up. He's in charge, kind of like me of my home. I'm in charge of my home, but I'm not in control. Sometimes a plumbing fixture breaks. Sometimes a light doesn't come on. How I respond to those things, I'm in charge of that. Oh, that light's been out for 10 years. Maybe it'll come back on. Or we can get a new light bulb, take the old one out, and screw a new one in. Probably 15, 17 years ago, somewhere there, my son was 2 or 3. He was a pretty little guy at that time. I was out in the yard working, and I was building up this wall to fill with rock and gravel so we could have a fire pit. And our yard's kind of all on a hill, so I was making a flat spot. Meanwhile, I'm also building a playhouse for the kids, and we had this slide in the yard that's one of those whoop-de-doo slides. And I hadn't installed it yet. It was just laying there in the yard and getting ready to attach it to the playhouse. And also doing this other project. I'm working, and meanwhile, my son's playing in the yard and riding his bike around. Somewhere, he has a moment of genius, probably from one of my genes. And he thinks, what if we get this slide and put the top in way up on this high wall, and then we can slide down? And that was fun for a bit. And then he gets a second moment of genius. What if we ride our bike down the slide? I see him lining up and getting ready to go down the slide, and I was like, Ridge, let's not do that. That doesn't look very safe. You know, there's a 12-inch drop at the end of the slide with an 8-inch tire. And if it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out it doesn't go well. I'll be okay, Dad. Now, I'm in charge, but I'm not in control. No, Ridge, let's not do it. So he doesn't do it for a little bit. I go back to working, and I catch movement out of the corner of my eye just in time to see him going down the slide on his bike. And he gets to the end, and he wheelies up and lands it, tears off in the yard, slides sideways. Look, Dad, it's great. So yeah, that time, I, having great experience in this genre of life, know this is not going to go well eventually. So I go, okay, let's not do it again. That was great. Nice wheelie at the end. I'll go again, Dad. No, let's not. Okay. Whatever you want, son, go for it. So he hits it a few more times and lands it perfectly. Till about the fourth or fifth attempt, he forgets to pop the wheelie at the end. So his wheel goes off the slide, and then he's doing head over tea kettle cartwheels down through the yard. Dad, why'd you let me do that? I said no. But some of us, we get in these predicaments of life, and you go, God, why'd you do this to me? God's going, I didn't do this to you. I warned you. I instructed you how to live life, to receive my peace, to walk in my peace, to experience my peace. And you chose a different path. But oftentimes we go, God, it's you who did this to me. Or God, why would you do this to me? Instead of taking responsibility for myself and my actions and my choices, saying, God, I've went my own way. God, I've gone astray. I'm not walking in your truth. I'm not walking in your righteousness. I'm not experiencing your peace. God, give me the conviction I need to repent before you so that your peace will return to me, so that I can walk in what you've done for us. Because Jesus Christ came to bring us peace. The Word of God tells us that. That was his plan all along. And sometimes it's because of our own doing, we're not experiencing his peace because we're not walking in his way and his righteousness. But thank God, he gives us the opportunity for repentance, to be in right standing with him, that we can again experience his peace. And peace doesn't mean everything's all right all the time. Peace according to the Word of God, and we're going to look at some more passages. But it means even through the trials, the struggles, and hardships of life, I believe my God is over all. And though it may not look pretty now, I know he's going to take care of it, and it's going to look pretty then. Peace in the midst of a storm. How can we know peace unless we've had a lack of it? Experiencing the peace that God has for us is everlasting and outside of the circumstances and situations that we face. Sin may disrupt our peace, but it does not have power over it. If sin has disrupted the peace of Jesus in your life, repent, come back in right standing with him, and get going forward again in the peace he has for you. Jesus, when he arrived on scene, Matthew chapter 2, this is a little while, a couple years after his birth, Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at 1 through 5 and then skip a piece and jump 13 to 18. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for that is what the prophet has written." So Jesus is born a couple years later. The Magi, the wise men, they're coming to seek him, to find him, to worship him, to bring him gifts. They stop in and talk to Herod. Herod, meanwhile, is the king. And this might not be very important to us, but it's extremely important to him. His kingship is supposed to pass down through his family line. And now there's an imposter or intruder in town who they're saying is born to be king in his spot. Or at least that's how he's viewing the situation. So let's see what happens. Verse 13. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up." They being the Magi, they had came, visited, delivered the gifts. Now they've left. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what he said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." So you're telling me Jesus comes to bring peace, and then all chaos ensues around his birth and his existence? Again, this isn't what God brought to us. This is what sin brings into the picture. Chaos and evil and wickedness. What leads you to Jesus? When everything's going well and good, when everything's going bad and evil, awful, or both? For the Magi, it was a star. Wouldn't that be easier just to follow a star? Have a sign to follow? Instead of trying to sort through the chaos of our lives sometimes? Just follow this star, we'll get there. Around Jesus coming to earth, it was not easy. It was not what we would call peaceful. His family, uprooted in the middle of the night, has to flee the country to escape to a foreign land to seek refuge. There's murder happening. King Herod orders a kill order on all boys under 2 years of age. This does not sound like peace. There's mourning and weeping, the families, the loss, the grief, the sorrow. But even in the midst of that, Jesus comes to bring peace. Let's look at some verses that talk to us about the peace of God, how we can interact with it, how we can experience it, even in these tough and difficult times. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom established, and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The arrival of Jesus, he came for these purposes. Why else would we need a wonderful counselor unless we were going to have moments where our understanding and knowledge wasn't enough and we needed to seek a higher power? We need to get counsel from someone else. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor. Why else would we need a mighty God unless we were going to wind up in a situation where we weren't strong enough, we weren't able enough to do it on our own, that we would have to call out upon a mighty God? Why else would we need an everlasting Father unless we were going to be in a position where we felt abandoned, betrayed, fatherless, alone, in need of comfort? He is the everlasting Father. Why else would we need a Prince of Peace unless we were going to have some moments in life where there was going to be a lack of peace, there was going to be mourning and suffering and confusion and chaos and betrayal, and the list goes on? Jesus is that Prince of Peace. It says there will be no end to the greatness of his government and his peace. It is everlasting. He will uphold it and establish it with righteousness and justice. God will accomplish this. Have you ever accomplished a task? Did it happen immediately? Or did it take time? Was it a process? It usually takes time, and it's a process to accomplish something. We're in process of experiencing the peace that only Christ can bring. Hopefully you're in process, enjoying and enduring the journey. He is more than enough. He will accomplish it. I think of the peace of God like being in a torrential downpour, but you have your umbrella. It's raining all around you, but you're not feeling the effects of it to the point that it's soaking you and freezing you. Being in the middle of the storm, but being protected in the hand of the Almighty. That's his peace. Going through the storm with little effects of it. John 14, 27. A little more of what Jesus tells us about peace. John 14, 27. Jesus, in this passage, is preparing his disciples for his leaving of the earth and his ascending back into heaven. And Jesus says this to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Why would he have to say that if everything's going to be amazing and wonderful? Well, probably because it's not. And there's going to be some moments in life that we need to not let our hearts be troubled and to not be afraid, because we know we belong to the Prince of Peace. Probably 15 years ago, I was working for a company, and the boss had asked me to go to this yard sale up out behind Grangeville up in the mountains. There was a couple of bunk beds that they wanted for one of their rentals, and said, hey, could you run up there and check this out? And so I'm on the road, and I get to Grangeville, and I'm heading out of Grangeville, and it's up in the mountains toward the ski hill there. And like this spirit of terror and fear came over me. And I was like, what is going on? And at first I didn't recognize it. And I was like beginning to panic and fear. And like, it's like, if you go to this yard sale, these people are going to kill you. And they're going to, you know, like all these weird thoughts. And all of a sudden I realized, where's this coming from? This isn't of God. And like, I was to the point, like I was going to turn around and tell the boss I couldn't find the yard sale. I mean, it was that real and evident. And all of a sudden, I realized this is an attack of Satan. These thoughts are not of God. This is not his will and his plan. And I didn't know it in the scheme of things in the moment. But I go to the yard sale. I eventually talk to these two ladies. They were two sisters. Their brother had died. It was very unfortunate circumstances and just an awful situation. And I look at the beds and they're great. And I still have this weird, like, why was this spirit of fear placed on me as I'm traveling to this place? And I load the last bunk bed and I just feel God say, go pray for these ladies. I'm like, okay. And there's like people everywhere at the yard sale. And I'm like, okay, like this might be a little awkward. I don't have any idea who these people are. Like this, I'm thinking about, it's going to be awkward for them. And I go back in and find these two ladies. I'm like, hey, could I have a moment with you ladies? And would you mind coming outside? I'd like to pray over you. And they're kind of looking at me like, who are you? What are you doing? And I bring them outside and we go kind of around the corner so like everybody's not there. And I'm praying for them. And it was like 100% Holy Spirit prayer. It was awesome and amazing. And just the presence of God released in that moment. And I thought that was pretty cool in itself. And I'm like, oh, this is why the devil didn't want me here. But about a week or so later, I get a letter in the mail from these two ladies thanking me. And they had had no peace up until that point, dealing with their brother's estate and how everything shook out. And they said, but when you prayed for us, we felt such perfect peace. Thank you for being obedient to God. I'm praying over us that day because something broke that day in our situation. And it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I did not give in to the spirit of fear. Thank you, Jesus, that I had your almighty counselor to say, what's going on here? Has anybody else ever had weird experiences like that? Is it just me? If not, get ready. Life with God is awesome. You never know what he's up to. But I wasn't on mission to go buy two bunk beds. I was on mission to go intercede on the behalf of two ladies and bring the peace that Jesus Christ came to bring to them. He was inviting me to be his hands and feet, extending his peace to them that day. But if we get too busy and too caught up in our own thing, or if we just like give in to the spirit of fear and like, no, this is a weird situation. I'm not going, not doing it. We can miss the opportunities to bring peace into people's situations because it's inconvenient for us or not comfortable for us, or put in what holds you up. I won't get to pickleball on time. I play pickleball sometimes. But God came and he gave us his peace. He left his peace with us. This is what Jesus promised. Red letters in the Bible, Jesus saying this, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not Arby's peace. I can bring a little bit of peace. But I can't bring Jesus' peace without him. That's a whole nother level. John 16:33. Jesus gives us a little more warning again. Just trying to prepare his disciples for his leaving and the Holy Spirit coming. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's a promise you can stand on. That's a promise you can count on. Say, God, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know when. But I know you told me to take heart, and you have overcome the world. So I'm going to put my trust, my faith in you, and I'm going to walk in your peace. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. I want to please God. How do we do that? We live righteously. We live in peace. We live in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Serve God in this way. Serve Christ in this way. He gives us his peace. He gives us his joy. We are to walk in it. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Have you ever had trouble sleeping at night? A time or two, or three or five? In the words of David the psalmist, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I know people that are paranoid and they go check their locks multiple times every night and their windows multiple times every night. And I don't want anybody to get in. I go to bed at night and say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge. I'm going to sleep. But there are nights I can't sleep and I have racing thoughts and things going through my head, and it's usually more work-related than fear-related, what I need to get done, what I need to accomplish. But there are nights I said, Lord Jesus, I need your rest, your sleep. In my guiding career early on, I was probably 16 at the time. There was myself and another 16-year-old kid, and we shared this wall tent, and it had a wood floor and wood walls. And it was summertime, so we would sleep with the front door open on the wall tent and let the breeze come in and cool it off. And we wake up one morning, and he's like, hey, what'd you do with my Oreos? I'm like, I didn't touch your Oreos. He goes, yeah, you did. They're gone. I'm like, I didn't eat your Oreos. And kind of had a little spat, and there was a nightstand between our two cots that we kind of each shared and got half of it. And he'd had a pack of Oreos sitting on there, and you're like 2 hours from town, so Oreos weren't like, let's go down the street and get another pack. I'm like, I did not eat your Oreos. And he's like getting angry at me, and I go to walk out of the tent and I notice these muddy paw prints coming in our tent. I'm like, I think I found out who took your Oreos. He's like, who? And I'm like, a black bear. He goes, yeah, right. I'm like, come look at these tracks. These weren't here last night. There's three muddy tracks coming in our tent. And then, of course, the mud was off his feet. And he was only about 6 feet from the Oreos at that point. But Jesus came so you can have the peace to sleep through a bear stealing your Oreos off the nightstand. I think at that point it was more because we were working 18 and 20 hour days for 100 days in a row. But that should be the peace we have, knowing that Jesus is in control and Lord over our life. And we don't have to live in fear or angst. And God, what will be, will be. I leave you in charge. I pray over my home. I pray over our property. Pray over my family. And I trust them to the care of the Prince of Peace, of the Wonderful Counselor, of the Almighty God, of the Everlasting Father. That's the peace God wants you to have, to be able to walk and say, hey, you know, some things aren't going to go right today, but in the end, my God is still good. Did any of you do your homework this week? No one? Does anybody remember the homework this week? Find 10 things each day and write them down and thank God for them. At least there were a couple people. I've got a list of mine. Yes. A plus. The rest of you? Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. How do you get perfect peace? You have a steadfast mind. How do you have a steadfast mind? Put your trust in God and God alone. God, I fully trust you, which helps me have a steadfast mind. When I start thinking of Arby and what he can do and the things I can't get done, I just like, my mind goes crazy. How am I going to accomplish this? I'm not. When I say, God, show me what's most important today. Show me what I need to take care of today. What's on your agenda, your plan, and your will today? And I push all of Arby's things to the back burner. Say, man, I would love it if my lawn was mowed and neat and tidy, but I can push that to the back burner. Nobody's going to go to hell because I didn't mow my lawn. I don't think. Nobody's going to go to hell because I didn't make pickleball today. But somebody might if I don't go engage in conversation, if I don't be the hands and feet extended and the love of Christ extended to them today. God, what's your plan and your mission for me? Help me to trust in you so I can have a steadfast mind, so I can experience your perfect peace. That's his plan for us. Our plan sometimes looks like my son on that slide on his bike. It works sometimes, but eventually it's going to hurt bad. Philippians 4:4-9. This is like a power pack passage with the whole sermon or two in itself. So we're not going to pick it apart. We're just going to read it today mostly. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't know how to get the God of peace to be with me. We just read a recipe. Follow the instructions. Above in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Do you know that we need a guard on our heart and our mind? The peace of God can do that for us. And the peace of God can transcend or go beyond our understanding and thinking and knowledge. But sometimes we have to yield our right to understand. God, I just need to know. No, you don't need to know. What you need to know is the God of peace will be with you in every situation, whether you understand it or not. And sometimes we have to submit ourselves before his authority. Say, God, I don't get it and I don't understand it, but I trust you as the Prince of Peace over my life. And I give over to you my situation. Help me to lie down and rest in your peace as I put my trust in you. And God, as I go to sleep tonight, I know that you're working on my issue. You're working on my situation. You're working on my behalf. That's what Jesus Christ came to do for us. So you could lay down and rest while he works out your situation. Just remember that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 gives the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is one of those fruits. I love that God calls them the fruit of the Spirit because fruit grows and develops and matures. It doesn't have to stay a budding flower. It can get pollinated. It can turn into a fruit. It can grow and develop and mature, which I think means that each of us can grow and develop and mature in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, until it becomes something of sustenance that gives life to everyone around us. So if you don't have peace today, it's a good day to put a bud on the tree. It's a good day to let that flower bloom. It's a good day to let it turn into a green, inedible fruit that can continue to grow and mature and become sustenance to those around you. You don't have to stay where you are. And the final verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. This is Paul's final greeting to the Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Who else do you want peace from? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that you offer to us. God, that it is above and beyond, God, outside of our circumstances, our situations, God, regardless of what we're going through, Father, we can have your peace in the midst of the storms of life. Father, we can experience your peace, God, when there seems to be no reason to have it. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would turn our hearts to you, God, in repentance. God, that we would walk in righteousness. God, that we would walk in your perfect peace. God, that we would walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. God, that we could experience your peace each and every day, Lord God. God, that we could experience your peace in our hard times and in our fun times. in our joys and in our sorrows. God, knowing that you are overall in control. God, you are in charge of all that goes on. Father, we thank you. And Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for Jesus Christ who came, God, willingly went to the cross. God, that bore the punishment that brought us peace. God, the punishment that paid the debt, Father, for our sins and our wrongdoings. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved us so much. God, I ask that you would use us to be your hands and feet extended to the world around us. God, that we would be, God, ambassadors of your peace. God, that your Spirit of peace would go with us wherever we go. God, that we would bring your Spirit of peace into hard situations, into hostile environments. God, into disruptive conversations. God, use us to be your peace. Father, we thank you for this. God, we ask for your strength and endurance to go forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.